refinancing, we can help you. Call now toll free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
This broadcast is for information purposes only and should not be regarded as a recommendation or an offer to sell or solicitation of an offer to buy securities or investments mentioned herein. This broadcast is the opinion of Jordan Kimmel. At the time of this broadcast, a member of Mr. Kimmel's household owns shares of the company discussed in this program. Additional information on topics discussed herein available upon request.
This is Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Profitable Investing is a show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And folks, things are heating up. They're heating up in here. They're heating up around the world. I'm not sure they're heating up in everyone's portfolio or in a lot of broken hands down on Wall Street. But folks, I think this is exactly the message we've been kind of sharing with you for months after months, a matter of being disciplined, a matter of listening to the market, a lot of controlling your emotions. So later on today, folks, we're going to bring on Dr. Roger Corey, who's been with us a couple times. If you remember, folks, when oil was around the mid-40s, Dr. Corey came on and gave a very important presentation on peak oil, talked about $100 oil. He sounded to some people like he may be talking his book up, but he's been so accurate. We've had him on a few times. I think there's some important messages Dr. Corey wants to share. And folks, by the way, next week, I want you to kind of look ahead to this and set your clocks or set your alarms and remember the beauty of Voice America. All of these shows are archived. You can listen to them at night or on the weekend. But we just did a full 1 hour with probably the greatest investor of our era. Jimmy Rogers took a full hour out of his time with a four-day-old baby girl to join us on Voice America. We're going to air that next week's show, so it's definitely you want to tune in. He's talking about commodities. He's talking about international. He's talking about how to do your research and what to do. This from a man who made $1 billion a couple of different times already, and it's a great, great hour show, so I welcome you to join us. Now, what I want to talk about today for a moment, if you haven't got the Dick Davis article that I wrote, it came out just this week, I wrote the perspective piece, the title is called Wall Street Has the Problems, Not Main Street. We mailed it around internally to a few of our own folks. If you want a copy of that, folks, you got to come to us at magnetinvesting.com, request the article, or you know, go on to Google. I'm sure it's all posted up, but it's a very, very critical article, and we introduce something that's brand new, and I think I'm going to do it live on the air for the first time tomorrow. I'll be on the closing bell tomorrow on CNBC. Now, what we're not going to talk about at the closing bell, they don't like to give me enough opportunity to remind everybody about our mutual fund. That's right, when everyone wants to stop and get out of the business and freak and panic, that's when we started our mutual fund, the Exceptionator Fund, just opened in January. Yes, we're ahead of the market. No, we don't want to brag. We don't want to put our foot in our mouth. What we simply do, folks, is we stick with the discipline and we ask a very, very important question. We ask the question, not what we think is going to happen, not what we're going to project into the future 10 years or 5 years. We ask the question, who out there has acceleration in cash flow? Who out there has line, top-line revenue growth with margins accelerating? And then somehow, sometimes, a story develops when the several stocks in an individual group that rank up. Now, we look down at our page. We limit ourselves to 25% in one sector, but we look down at our page and we see ourselves stuffed with energy companies interestingly, not too many energy service companies. What we see is lots of basic materials and lots of companies exposed to what's going on in the unbelievable international build-out. A lot of it has to do, frankly, at the moment with agriculture. And measures were taken today in Chicago to kind of cut down the speculation in commodities and agriculture specifically. But, you know, this happened the same time a year ago when oil was going through 60 and 70. You know what they did? They blamed hedge funds. It's the hedge funds speculating. Whenever anything is wrong, in fact, these days, it's the hedge fund speculating because really no one knows what's in their books. If you want to look at what's going on with oil, folks, Dr. Coy will help us in our next couple segments. Folks, I think it has a whole lot more to do with supply and demand rather than a hedge fund trading for short-term profits. And, folks, if you look over your shoulder, part of the problem, in fact, with the article I just wrote is the media wants you to stay tuned for the next economic number and then the next economic number and then the next Fed talk. Because if you don't sell you on the next economic number, you might actually watch the History Channel or Discovery or learn something. But the reality is, folks, is that when it comes down to it, Harry Dent years ago came out with an incredible piece. They talked about the baby boomer generation. And, you know, I laugh because I call it the self-important baby boomers. You talked about how big their bulge was and how as they age, they dominate certain macroeconomics, and it was the baby boomers, baby boomers. Well, folks, I introduced something in the new Dick Davis Digest. I didn't share it here last week. I'll share it, I believe, on CNBC next tomorrow with the closing bell. The point is there's something called a interboomer. And the interboomer, in my opinion, is what's happening internationally, where it doesn't matter if the guy gets on, logs on in communist China or socialist Sweden or democratic United States, they all want a higher standard of living, folks. They don't want one car. They actually want two. They want all the things that we here in America take for granted. They even want, sounds kind of funny, they even want an egg on their plate. So that has might something to do with some of the agricultural, and folks, there's all kinds of, there's a global build-out bigger, just bigger than you can ever imagine. Now, I want to just see something I pulled out of today's New York Times, a builder pushes cities ever higher. Now, this is largest developer in Japan, and he's responsible for the 101-story Shanghai World Financial Center. That's the crowning achievement, but it says here this has lots of other plans. Now he's fielding offers to build skyscrapers like the Shanghai Center in Bangkok and Singapore. He's also talking to Chinese and Middle Eastern sovereign wealth funds, raising tens of billions of dollars to finance these projects. There are some people, folks, I don't want to minimize. There are some people domestically, they thought they could buy bonds at 6% with a AAA rating and therefore margining them 24 times and carry a hedge fund in a heavily leveraged fixed income. Folks, it's a fiasco. This is what happened 10 years ago with long-term capital. Most people never bothered to read the story, but if you actually picked up today's Wall Street Journal, the headline is, a decade later, John Merriweather must scramble again. Yes, he's the guy who broke the system back in 98, had to have a Fed bailout. He's currently managing a few billion more the exact same way. Yes, they're saying people are scrambling to get out of his fund. There is a liquidity crisis, folks. But it's Wall Street's problem. It is not Main Street's problem. And as we will talk about, Main Street is not only developing in your town and mine, it's developing all over the world. There are implications regarding all basic materials, and who better to lead us in a discussion on the oil and gas side than Dr. Roger Corey, who will be joining us following this quick break. So, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more on profitable investing. And take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
Money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Magnet Investment Group, LLC, is based in Randolph, New Jersey, and is a registered investment advisory firm providing wealth management for individuals and institutions. Magnet's investment strategy combines aspects of growth, value, and momentum investing to achieve superior long-term risk-adjusted returns. The group applies their proprietary Magnet stock selection process to a variety of client-specified benchmarks and risk tolerance levels. The group is led by Jordan Kimmel with over 20 years' experience in the securities field.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, the Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, the Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, Voice America Business.
With thousands of homes destroyed or damaged by fire, lots of people are wondering what to do next. If you are a wildfire survivor, SoCalHelp.org can help you find support and decide what to do, right now, wherever you are. This easy-to-use website is a place you can go to get immediate help with food, shelter, and important medications, and start getting your life back on track. Get help now with insurance, legal issues, and find professional services like doctors and counselors. You can access contact information for national agencies, hotlines, and services that have the resources you need. You can also connect with other survivors and people who can help. For the answers and support you need to rebuild, visit SoCalHelp.org.
The Bottom Line in Business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back. Welcome to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And because of the man, because of his calls before, Dr. Roger Corey has been one of the folks people asked to come back on the show, and he's took the time out to join us again. Dr. Corey, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome back to Voice America and our show.
Always a pleasure to be here, Jordan.
Right. Now, I just have to make a quick setup, and if you can, I'm not sure of your time frame. I think there's enough going on that if you could, I'd like you to stay for another segment after this next commercial. So I'm just letting you know there's a lot to talk about if you've got the time. I need to set it up, Roger. You know, a year or so ago, probably a year and a half ago, when oil was in the $40, $50 range, you came out, you told people, don't look over your shoulder, don't play the wiggles, this is what's going to happen long term. While a lot of other people have called for $100 oil sounded crazy, you probably step for step and quarter by quarter had it more right than anybody. So with that set up, what we really want to know, I know there's some articles that hit about Shell having to, you know, potentially write off a great deal of last year, you know, the reserves, and they're talking about a new expression called super spike.
Mm-hmm.
So I think with this setup, why don't you kind of tell us not what you think is going to happen tomorrow, what should people be reading and thinking about for longer term now?
Yeah, I find it somewhat amazing having prepared just a little bit here. I want to make sure that we can provide some good value for your listeners. As far as our preparation, it was almost identical to the way that you were thinking. And, you know, we don't have, except for when we see each other at conferences and things, we don't have that much time to prep a little bit ahead of time. So it's somewhat amazing. We are in an unusual point of time right now, obviously. Before, when we were making certain types of predictive indicators, taking a look at a lot of the different issues that we saw going on globally, we did have some price points to work with. We were in uncharted territory occasionally, but, you know, we did have some highs and lows that we can kind of work off of in a technical model type sense. We really don't have that anymore. I am reading right now what I consider to be much more speculative type pronouncements in terms of what they consider to be future value of energy. And what I'd like to do is take a look at this from a perspective, again, as you had mentioned before in the setup, in terms of supply and demand issues. That's what I'd like to focus on, because
perfect.
The indicators that we originally had that we talked about now, what, 3.5 years ago, have really not changed at all, only they have gotten stronger as these monolithic giants of India and China has begun to gobble up energy that we just had never seen in the from the history of mankind. We have never seen this type of depletion of natural resources in quite the same way that we're seeing it from these two large areas. Chris Zabrowski, who I consider to be an excellent prognosticator of future prices of energy, spoke before a large council of energy resource countries down in Africa recently, in South Africa, Cape Town, and he put a price tag on oil at 140 by 2011. Now, these are the most speculative type of thoughts that anyone could have. While I don't deny whatsoever that possibility, frankly, it could be much higher than that. I would think that that's a conservative analysis. Our own administration in Washington has targeted the price of energy, as far as the latest estimates, to be at least between 80 and 110. OPEC chief, 4 days ago, reports the minimum expectation of petroleum prices will range between 80 and 110. Now, it's ironic that we're at 80 to 110. We are now in the spring season. We should have already been seeing some drops already starting to anticipate. The market is usually a little ahead, as you know, of the curve in terms of its annual anticipation. And this morning, just roughly checking the prices, we have NYMEX crude at 106.32. Brent North Sea, which used to be far behind the NYMEX price because of the drop-offs in the peak that they experienced in 2000, they're at 104.86, almost as valuable as regular crude oil, even though it's a much worse, much more sour crude now coming out of the Brent. And, of course, gas, natural gas being a lagging indicator, has been ranging between $9.40 and $10. Everyone is predicting that 110 would be our top, at least for 2008. I find that somewhat specious in that we're at, 106 and change right now. We'll see a softening during the spring season before the electricity season for air conditioning and things will kick on during the summertime. I would say right now the most important thing for everyone to keep in mind is that oil and natural gas is still extremely inexpensive. I dare say use the word cheap. One of the things that Matt Simmons brought up in the very public debate that's going on right now between him and John Hoffmeister, president and CEO of Shell, was the entire thought process in terms of the what is the current price of oil translate to? Matt Simmons talked about it being 15 cent a cup. It's a little hard for people to understand what a cup of oil actually is or what it actually represents. Let's put it this way. A family of four can get an automobile still at today's prices with a reasonable automobile, get 50 miles down the road, and I think we all can agree that it would be probably under $5 in actual cost. That is an amazing economic value. I just recently watching a program on HBO, John Adams, which I would recommend to everybody.
Oh, yeah, I've been watching it too.
Oh, my goodness, what amazing men they were, and they were very, very human, but boy, that's the kind of leadership I would think that we could use in Washington these days. These men were willing to lay down their lives for freedom. And they had to go, I think it was 80 miles or 50 miles, and they said, how do we get there in 2 days? It's impossible with a horse. And basically they resolved that they were going to have to ride the horse until it died. I don't even care. We own horses on our farm, and I can't imagine that type of thought coming across. And that is exactly what we're talking about here. We are talking about the value of energy. So people say, well, usage of energy has only dropped off about 1%. Something's wrong. No, nothing's wrong. The fact of the matter is every single person at every economic strata, at every intellectual capacity, goes into a gas station and fills up, and if it's $80 to fill up their tank, they're filling it up because the value they perceive is greater than $80. That's the way the world spins. And that also gives us a great idea of the incredible benefit and the blessing this country has had to the access of hydrocarbons like we've had for so many years.
Right. Well, let me tell you, you know, are you going to agree? Can you stick with us after a commercial?
Sure.
Okay. I want to throw something out to you, kind of make you laugh a little bit. We bring on a lot of people. There's a gentleman who runs a fund based on astrology.
Okay.
And he came on a couple weeks ago, wanted to talk about why the full moon represented an opportunity to sell oil short. You know, and we kind of let him talk a little bit because that's all part of it. But, you know, one thing in retrospect, I graduated graduate school in 1981. I think oil was around $1 a gallon. Now, all of a sudden, we look at $3 a gallon. And when I got out of graduate school in 81, I got a pretty good job. I started making $15,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at kids getting out of school right now, they're making, you know, more than three times what I was making if they have the right background and education. And I think we need to put everything into perspective. And one of the things I share is that I'm absolutely sure not only of the global build-out and the future of the world, I'm also pretty sure that my kids are going to be paying a heck of a lot more than $3 or $6 or $7 or $8 a gallon in several years from now. That has something to do with inflation and cost adjustment. I think people have to get over the fact that this is not even really, I don't think, kept pace with inflation since 1980.
That's very, very true. We have to have a different set of eyes now as we view these changing economic trends. I'm not a doomsday individual. Yes, I studied and analyzed peak oil since 98 when it was not very fashionable, and I spoke publicly on it in March 2004 before a group of leadership executives in Lexington, Kentucky, and it's the first time I had the courage to stand up in front of a group and tell what I had discovered through my research. However, the fact of the matter is that energy itself has a tremendous power, so it's simply a trade-off between what the benefits are to us. There is no known substance in the world that holds the power and the control for nations and individuals as access to hydrocarbons, both oil and natural gas. Those are the only two hydrocarbons that hold the tremendous return for what is spent. We have a long ways to go here. We need to start thinking very, very differently and start working our economic models. And in your case, with your expertise in terms of stock market analysis, the stock market analysis of price supports, where they would exist, we need to start thinking in terms of a very, very different type of structure. Because all of our companies will go on. We got to $100 and nothing changed. Okay, it was an extra few dollars in my tank, and I am not dismissing the impact that this will have globally. I'm saying that the world needs to reorient its thinking so that we can understand that there's still going to be profit made, there's still going to be value out there, but chiefly among it, access to energy. And the use of energy within any country is going to be the real key to productivity and long-term stability for all free nations.
Well, I think you have that exactly right. I think that what we'll do is when we come back, I want to explore some of the further supply-demand equations. But I think that one of the things that we do suffer with the media, the gas is so tangible, it's such a easy distraction. I understand the politicians do not want to talk about health care and the actual larger cost that we experience as a percentage of our income that are escalating even faster. I think it's too hot of a topic. They'd rather distract people and blame the oil guys about some woes. But when you do the math and you ask how many miles do you drive and miles per gallon, I think that people will realize that this is not having a dramatic impact on the global build-out or even the economy. But what I really want to do is I want to focus on some of the studies I know you have access to.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you are probably access to more information than almost anybody out there in this industry. Well, I want to go back again to the longer-term impact and things that you want to kind of go to. So what we'll do is we'll take a real quick break here, Dr. Corey. We're going to come back with more Voice America, more profitable investing right after this quick break. Stick with us. Dr. Corey sticking with us. We'll be right back following the breaks.
Money, money, up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
The Bauer Power Hour will focus on ways to improve a company's marketing message. Some of the sharpest minds in marketing will be featured on the show. So listeners will get free advice from folks that normally have to pay hundreds or even thousands of dollars per hour to access. Listen live every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific, that's 2 p.m. on the East Coast, to the Bauer Power Hour with host Roger Bauer on the Voice America Business Channel.
Our team of investment professionals, supported by our quantitative magnet stock selection process, is committed to the goal of providing excess market returns to clients around the world. We target the fastest growing companies that are still trading at a discount to their intrinsic value. Companies in this category are likely to enjoy dynamic earnings growth. We call these companies magnets. They tend to simulate investor response and create powerful returns. The value-added benefit of magnets' quantitative analysis and portfolio management has been extraordinary. After ranking all eligible companies, we only buy less than the top 1% of the companies we monitor. The first step involves quantitative analysis of individual companies. Often special situation companies with a market niche are captured by our screening process. Our strategy is intended to take advantage of our global economy while achieving long-term capital appreciation.
Parents, did you know that high school dropouts make 42% less than graduates? Someone will have to make up that difference, and chances are, that will be you. That means paying 42% of their groceries.
Ooh, more candy.
42% of their dentist bills.
No, no more candy.
Even 42% of their therapy sessions.
It's all my dad's fault.
Save your money. Encourage your kids to stay in school. For help and advice, call 877-FORA-KID. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And folks, welcome back everybody to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. We've asked Dr. Roger Corey from Mammoth Resources to stick with us again, probably one of the leading experts in oil, in supply and demand. And Roger, what I want to get into right now, if I could just for a minute, we talked about it just before the break, and it's kind of a hot point. Everyone wants to talk about oil. One of the issues here is we actually have an election coming up, and everyone's kind of talking about it. I haven't really heard any solutions, in fact, if there are any. Maybe that ties right into something that Mammoth Resources is doing. So let me lead it off like that.
I'm sorry to chuckle because I was just commenting at the break before we went out, there was a couple of interesting points I think would have fit very well, and yet you really hit the nail on the head. I just find it so interesting. I'm being completely apolitical now, but I find it so interesting that when you take the two major Democratic candidates, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, add to it the presumptive Republican nominee, John McCain, and then add to it the White House. There isn't very many statements you can make that all four of those individuals would agree upon. And here's one. Every single one of them have made a public statement which essentially says we have to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. Recently, Dick Cheney was in Baghdad as part of a trip, again, asking the Saudis to help us by increasing production, which, as you notice, they are no longer want to do, as they did for many, many years throughout the late 80s and 90s. And Vice President Dick Cheney was quoted as saying, there's not a lot of excess capacity worldwide. Most of what exists is sour. It's not attractive. It's not easily marketed. All of this is at the backdrop of the increases from China. And then Bush follows it up with, you know what, in the State of the Union address, it's time for the U.S. to get off of oil. All of the other candidates are all saying it's time for us to reduce our dependence. There's just one thing missing. Do I hear from any one of these leaders right now a solid or comprehensive energy plan on how to do that? These are patronizing comments. They have absolutely no meat to them whatsoever, no value for us. We are not going to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. That is why we have not up to this point, and it's going to take some strong, comprehensive leadership. Fact of the matter is, there's a reason for that, Jordan. We said this the very first time I ever had the opportunity to come on your show. Oil, gas, hydrocarbons, so those are the two major forms of hydrocarbons, oil and natural gas, they represent power. The countries of the world that have access to those hydrocarbons have access to power.
Mm.
No country is going to give that up. And quite frankly, without taking too strong a political stance, we should not either. No disrespect to alternative forms of investment and alternative forms of energy sources and all kinds of different types of things that you hear about with tar sands or this or that. But if we had to rely upon all of it to supply our needs, we would be facing economic catastrophe worldwide. There is nothing to replace a combustible engine at this point, not at all on the same level, and there are no substances or natural resources to replace the very valuable hydrocarbon. It was a source of our greatness through many years during the last century, and it's now becoming the access of greatness for countries like China and India. The one who gets the most of it wins. So if we run around and say reduce, 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 in many respects, we are saying to the world, we are going to grow lesser in power while you're going to take the lion's share of the energy and grow in power. So you're right.
Certainly,
politically speaking, we don't have the leadership right now.
Right. So let me ask you. I mean, I've heard from people that ethanol was just a bad idea. It's actually too costly. It's not the solution. I've heard from other people saying that maybe strategically, I don't know if actually we are this smart. We're willing to let other countries deplete their oil before we start drilling more and opening up our own resources from Alaska and so on. I mean, I don't know. That's why we bring you on. And I don't know if you want to offer solutions or if you want to, you know, my feeling is as long as the global market spreads and more people have what we have and have their cars, the demand cannot go away. It's got to be affected by supply, if that's possible. And if you can, why don't you, there's two other thoughts that I have. I know that you haven't even mentioned your own company, Mammoth Resources, and what you're doing or what you're trying to do. And I also know that you came out with something called, and I'm not sure what it means, I want to know, Unstable Times.
Thank you for mentioning that. Yes, in fact, before we forget, I want to offer this to Jordan Kimmel listeners. The Unstable Times is a publication that it is near and dear to my heart. We work with our staff here, but it's a publication that I work with directly, and I'm not able to work on every aspect of this business, obviously, but this is something that's important. It really began because I was already putting in 2 to 3 hours every single evening. You can see what an exciting guy I am.
Me too.
Looking at all the updated information that's coming across the globe. I'm part of a lot of news services, and I get a lot of information. And what I was ending up doing anyway was summating it down to about a half a dozen articles a week I thought were key. And what we have done is turn that into a publication. This is not a publication that promotes Mammoth at all. It is wholly for those interested in issues of peak energy or traders or other types of individuals that are looking toward energy as a means to analyze some of the work that they do. And it comes out on a weekly basis via email. We have it right now absolutely free for your listeners at mammothresource.com. And you will look down, it says free newsletter. We put up a button. Just click on that and sign up. You'll never have a bill come out to you. Every week you will get anywhere from 3 to 5 of the top articles of the week and our comments on those. And I really think that's something that a lot of our partners here and institutions around the nation take advantage of, and I want to make sure your listeners are able to take advantage of it as well. The declining curves in terms of the production side is of critical importance, because I don't know if there's that much we can do about the increasing energy demand. China obviously is claiming that the United States had a wonderful run without worrying about issues of carbon footprints and other types of things during the Industrial Revolution, which was true. Our use of coal was basically unfettered, having a large amount of it here in North America, although China's coal reserves dwarfs ours. And basically they're asking for a pass from the world in order to be able to build such a dominating society there. Interesting political aspects, given the fact that we need them to make certain things. I just ran across a fact on the demand side, increasing demand side, that I thought you'd find interesting. Every car tire currently that is made by using 22 gallons of oil. Remember,
for a tire?
Barrel is 42 gallons of oil.
Wow.
More than one half of a barrel is used for one automobile tire. So everybody is driving around, I would imagine, with four wheels, we hope, is driving around with two barrels of oil underneath.
That's amazing.
I never
heard anything like that. I know it's used in industrial production, never to that level. I've never heard that before. You know, again, I saw a little article today. It kind of made me laugh. We just saw this $2,500 vehicle introduced over in India. I think it's Tata or Tata. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. And they turn around today and buy Jaguar and Land Rover.
Maybe.
So if we don't think we are in a global build-out society where more and more people want to get behind that wheel, I just believe that the demand side, we haven't seen anything, you know, towards anywhere near peak. The only question that I have is, you know, we know the price goes up over time. Will there actually be enough of it to go around, or are we looking at odd and even driving days, or who knows where we need to go?
Well, the political aspects of all of this will be interesting to play out. But my opinion is that the think tank in Washington certainly understands the impact of reducing oil to a growing economy. What you're essentially suffocating the country when you do that. The productive nature of hydrocarbons is so intense versus any other a substance or resource that is out there. The burning of wood, let's say, or other types of things. Its power, its impact is so immense. There is no replacement. There never has been, and there is not today. There is not one form of alternative fuel right now that, according to our own government studies, official studies out of Washington, represents a value in terms of a value of energy created versus the value of energy expended in order to get that. So they're all net energy losers. One barrel of oil represents a man, a laborer, a woman laboring, 12,000 hours. I'm telling you, it's $106 a barrel this morning. Where do I sign up?
Well, here's what I need to do. The problem is, I know we're going to come to commercial.
Okay.
I want you to actually give the contact information, again, the mammoth resource numbers. We didn't even get to talk about the values and the ambitions of Mammoth Resources. What I also wanted you to talk about, we'll have to bring you on, there's been so much discussion about the waste of ethanol and how much water it costs, and just the fact that it's not economical. I'd like to tackle that another day, but for now, if you could, why don't you share all the contact information, where they can get your articles, and possibly even talk to your group.
Thank you very much. We tread very lightly in these types of areas. Fortunately, we've had a wonderful following. And yesterday, we just got confirmation of our 35th consecutive successful natural gas well drilled in the Appalachian Mountain regions. Certainly a record for us and something we're extremely thankful for. So Mammoth has grown dramatically right now with, according to our latest audited numbers, $1.5 billion in in-ground gas reserves at the rate of $7 a decatherm. That's pretty heady stuff for a young company that really was founded for some unique purposes, really to change the way investors view their involvement with oil and natural gas as a investment vehicle. And you can get a hold of us here at our offices in Cave City, Kentucky, 877-677-4645. And visit us online. We have a lot of original articles there. A lot of people visit it that don't necessarily get involved in partnerships of any type, but they get a lot of great information, mammothresource.com. And, of course, this is very near and dear to my heart. I started very unusually. You know, I grew up in Southern California. There weren't many oil wells around the town that I grew up in. But I will tell you that we got into this business because of our knowledge of what was happening to depleting resources around the world and how convinced we were that it was important to us get close and embrace and also help the country, truly, bring in as much hydrocarbons as we possibly can. We need more infill drilling in this country. We need to slow down the thought process of looking at other people's food as a source of your fuel and start getting into the fuel that actually is underneath the earth and the natural gas that's underneath the earth here in the United States.
All
that,
right.
To me, is
hey, Dr. Corey, we're going to have to end it here. You are again right on. I am quite confident. It's a pleasure to have you with us. We'll bring you on again. I can't wait to see you again. In the meantime, good health. Good profits ahead, and we will talk soon.
Congratulations on everything,
okay.
Jordan.
Stick with us on Voice America, folks. We'll be right back following this quick message.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll-free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Magnet Investment Group, LLC, is based in Randolph, New Jersey, and is a registered investment advisory firm providing wealth management for individuals and institutions. Magnet's investment strategy combines aspect of growth, value, and momentum investing to achieve superior long-term risk-adjusted returns. The group applies their proprietary Magnet stock selection process to a variety of client-specified benchmarks and risk tolerance levels. The group is led by Jordan Kimmel with over 20 years' experience in the securities field.
Do you have business style? Is your business style working against you? Does your business style support your overall business and career goals? If you're not achieving goals in the workplace, you'll benefit from Business Style with Kimberly B., a leadership expert and executive recruiter who will outline strategies to help you manage your business and career and achieve the success you want. Listen live every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific to Business Style with Kimberly B. on the Voice America Business Channel.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Now here's the host of Profitable Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Profitable Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. We're going to bring back on an old friend. You remember Paul DeJourney, the president, chief executive officer, the chief financial officer. No, not the counselor, treasurer, and director, too. If you remember, Paul's been involved in one of the most interesting biotech encounters from a financial background. Paul, you're in a really unique spot. Well, thanks so much for coming back on, and we want to find out what's going on over at Symbolon right now.
Jordan, thanks very much for having me on. It's great to speak with you again.
Well, let me just mention to you, too, before we get started on your development, something very unique happened internally here this week. We run a quantitative model and almost never see a biotech stock anywhere on our model. Monday morning when we ran the model, a very small, and I can even share the name, biotech company jumped to the number one top on the list because one of their products they've been waiting for did get approval. They are now gushing money. It's the biotech dream. And I know you and your company have been going down phase one, phase two. Tell us where you are these days in the research and what we should be kind of looking forward to seeing. We brought you on milestone after milestone. Give us an update where things stand.
Well, we are at a pretty exciting point for Symbolon right now. We just wrapped up a phase three pivotal trial in February. We're expecting to report the data out next week. And if that is a successful trial, we do have to confirm that with a second phase three. But being able to get a successful outcome on a phase three trial is gigantic news, obviously, for a small company like Symbolon. That is the stage that you need to pass in order to get approval. So we will be able to establish the drug is safe and effective for the indication. And just to remind everybody, that indication we're initially going after is fibrocystic breast disease, a tremendously large unmet need, we believe, in women's health care.
Right. Now I talk a lot about the bell curve and average and what's beyond average. And before we go on, I just want to remind you and everybody, we never promote stocks here. We ask people to do their own homework. Certainly, biotechs carry more risk than others. There's certainly more upside. But that said, what I wanted to get into, when you go and start phase one, phase two, and phase three, give the listeners an idea. How many actually even get to phase three and what usually that means?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the percentages are out there in a couple of different sources. But, as you go down or complete each stage, you certainly have a fairly high dropout rate. And I would say of compounds that are in the lab now, less than 20% of them get to a phase three study, and even a smaller percentage of those actually pass the phase three study. So we're at a point now where, you know, if you pass this, you're well on your way to getting commercialization approval of that drug. And it's taken us quite a while to get here. As you well know, it's a long process to get down to this the final stages here of a drug. And so we're pretty excited.
Right. Well, and you know, what I've talked about a lot on this show is what I really believe in, the part that I love are the entrepreneurs, the guys out there putting their own money to work, working at very low salaries, not only to eventually grab the golden ring. In your case, again, you're talking about solving a gigantic problem, and, you know, I'm not sure what the numbers actually look like. Maybe you can share in terms of the scope and the opportunity, how many people you can out there help, and, you know, what alternatives are out there, if any, right now.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the drug itself has been looked at for a number of indications. We are focused on fibrocystic breast disease, which is essentially benign cell growth in a woman's breast, cysts, masses, lumps, things of that nature, which are not malignant. But there are several researchers who have been doing work on our drug for breast cancer as well. So we think the drug in its totality has the ability to eliminate any type of excess cell growth in reproductive tissue of women. That includes the breast, the ovaries, and the uterus. If we just focus it, and that's obviously an enormous opportunity. I mean, that could be, if that were all true, that could be one of the largest selling drugs in the world. But to get back to where we are today and look at fibrocystic breast disease, I always analogize that to erectile dysfunction. There are about 30-plus million women in the United States alone that suffer from fibrocystic breast disease and or the pain and tenderness that it causes. And that's a comparable market to erectile dysfunction. And today in the marketplace, there is no safe and effective treatment for fibrocystic breast disease. The drugs that
do work are hormonal therapies like tamoxifen, bromocriptine, danazol. They are all very powerful agents. And for a childbearing age woman who has a benign condition like fibrocystic breast disease, it impacts their quality of life, but it is not going to kill them. Taking chronically a hormonal therapy that is going to certainly impact a number of things and have a fair amount of adverse events associated with it is not a therapy that physicians in the United States are going to recommend. So consequently, for these women, most of them are taking nothing that is going to resolve or dissipate the fibrosis, the tissue. What they do try to do is mask the pain, and they're taking analgesics, whether they be over-the-counter or Rx. This Iogen, our tablet, represents the first safe and effective treatment that can actually eliminate the excess cell growth and therefore eliminate the pain and tenderness. So we truly are a treatment for the condition. And in our last phase two that we completed, there were no drug-related adverse events. So this product has a very pristine safety profile. It can be taken chronically. The average woman has fibrocystic breast disease for 12 years. Some women have the condition for the entire time they're childbearing, almost 30-some-odd years. So this is a problem that needs a therapy that's safe, that can be taken over a long period of time. And we think Iogen could very well be the answer.
All right, well, I got to tell you, if I was probably in your shape, I wouldn't be sleeping at night out of excitement. You're saying it's next week. Folks, again, we're not going to make any recommendations here, but you know what I'd like to do, Paul, if people want to follow the information, be aware of when the information comes out, why don't you like give your websites, your phone numbers, or how people want to keep up, maybe invest in this or keep track, where are they going to find you or the information?
Well, I certainly appreciate the chance to do that. Feel free, I think, for anybody who wants to look into our company, the website is a good place to start. That's Symbolon.com, SymbolOn.com. Our ticker symbol is Symba, SYMBA. And certainly, if they want to call me directly, I welcome any investor phone calls. I can be reached at 508-620-7676, and I'm extension 202 at the office. We think we are at a seminal point here and appreciate all the time and following that you guys have given us.
Right. Well, no, it's been our pleasure, Paul. We love the entrepreneur. We love the guys out there trying to make things happen. And, again, if I were you, I'd be too excited to sleep at night for next week. So my fingers are crossed for you. I wish you guys the best. And that's, of course, not only for your company, but for the women that would benefit ultimately if you can be to help. So what I want to share with the rest of the group, Paul, first of all, thanks for joining us. For the rest of the group out there, going forward, I want you to get this Dick Davis Digest article that's on the cover of their magazine. You get it by calling our office. Go to our website at magnetinvesting.com. And also, as a reminder, tell your friends to tell your friends. We're going to have Jimmy Rogers on next week for the full hour, legendary billionaire investor, one of the most insightful, contrarian, but detailed investors of our era, or any era, in fact. And he joined us for 1 hour from Singapore. So that's next week, and looking forward to that. In the meantime, I think part of Wall Street's problems are dissolving in front of our eyes. Main Street, folks, is not the problem. Make sure you kiss your kids and have a great week. Have a profitable week. We'll see you right here next week on Profitable Investing. Take care. Thanks.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in for another exciting hour of profitable investing right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.